Now let's go on to chapter 44, and we begin to see again the warning of God. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol, at Tapanhes, at Noph, in the country of Pathros, saying, in other words, God is there. They've scattered through Egypt. We could bring it up into a modern statement by saying, once again, God is saying to the churches who are in Egypt, who are serving the world, who have put their trust in the world, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and not man dwelleth therein. We have to correct that last phrase, not man dwelleth therein. This was one of those phrases that the translators had a great amount of trouble with. It really is, the Hebrew words are these, and not in them a dweller from before their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger. Let me say that again if you want to write it down. And upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and not in them a dweller, not in them a dweller from before. And then it goes right on into the next verse 3, but not with the word because, their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger. What dweller was there that was there before their wickedness? Before their wickedness. That would have been the true believers that were still in the churches. But now they are out. They are out. And everyone that is here, there is no one here that is a true believer. In other words, everyone in the churches by this time are on their path to Judgment Day. Now, let me be careful now. I'm not saying that God is saying here that they cannot become saved by remaining in the churches. That's for sure. But outside of the churches, there's a great multitude that God is saving. And we do read, for example, and we're going to jump ahead a second, in verse 14, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone down into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain. So far. In other words, no one who was a dweller in the land of, in the true kingdom of God is present. There's no one left. Those in the churches are in trouble. They are on their way to judgment, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return, but such as shall escape. And that's very interesting how God puts that there, that none shall escape, but such that shall escape. It's like God is shutting the door. It's like he's saying, the door has been open. Now it's getting almost shut, and there's nobody that's going to escape. But there might be still somebody that squeaks out. And I'll tell you, this is a great solace to all of us today. We all have loved ones. There's not one of us that does not have loved ones who are adamantly turning their back on everything that we're teaching, and are convinced that they're safe and secure in their churches. And yet we're praying and praying and praying, oh Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on them. And here God at least is telling us, yes, well, it's getting to that point where there is no escape, yet there will be a few who will escape. Now, in this instance, we can only speculate that those who escape are probably Jeremiah and Baruch, who are there reporting or representing God there in Jeremiah. We don't find any others that are named, not a single individual. that is named beside them. But they certainly will not be consumed there because of their wickedness. They are children of God. And so, but this still gives a promise to us today that there still can be a few that do escape as we approach the end. And therefore, we should never, never give up. We should never give up and say, oh, it's worthless. It's futile. There's no hope for my dear mother or father or brother or sister or son or daughter. There's no hope. No hope. They just don't understand it all. Don't you believe it? There's always hope, God here is saying. There's a few that will escape, even though by rights nobody should escape. You know, already in a it's been a long time since it's been taught that we should get out of the churches, and we have to start reading the Bible, and not just reading the Bible, trying to be obedient to what we read there. Well, okay, but now let's go back to verse 3. And not in them a dweller from before their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they ye nor your fathers. We talked about this at another time about burning incense. There's this in Psalm 141. This is fairly rare in a psalm. Surprisingly, it's quite rare. But it's in Psalm 141, verse 2, we read, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And you know, when it talks about burning incense to other gods, it means to go to whatever you think is your God, who can provide what you think you need, and ask that God for what you need. And of course, there's only one true God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That is God the Father. But when we go, when we're part of a congregation or part of a, it can be a congregation that knows nothing about the Bible. It can be a Hindu congregation or a Buddhist congregation. When we pray to whom we think is God, and in the Baptist and the and in the Roman Catholic and all these churches, they all have their ideas of who they think is God. And when they pray, it is it is an abomination, because they're going to a God that is not the true God. But that is the God that they are serving, and whom their fathers did not know. Now, when we go to the fathers, we have to go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and go all the way back through the scriptures. And then we had that warning again in verse 4 that we've already talked about, that I have sent unto you my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. To me, this is, let me underscore that again, is just describing the enormous mercy of God. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured out, because you burnt incense unto other gods, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. That is a description of the churches today. They are wasted and desolate. There's no gospel there. There's no hope there. They're under the wrath of God. It is as bad as it can be. Verse 7, therefore now thus saith Jehovah the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you men and women, woman, child, and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. It's almost as if God is saying, this is nutty. This is crazy. This is stupid. Why are you doing this? And we can ask that question. Why don't you listen to the Bible? After all, the Bible is God's book, isn't it? Well, then why don't you listen to it? Why don't you just try to be obedient to it? What we're bringing to you is not from somebody's mind. It's right out of the Bible. Why don't you listen? But I'll tell you, the lock that sin has on mankind is so profound. It's so profound that it can't move. Even though we could ask that question, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with, verse 8, with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye have gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. It's interesting, and we'll get into this again, but back in Jeremiah 43, before they actually went into Egypt, going back now into this historical record of what happened in Judah, we read in verse 2, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jerusalem, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that we might be put to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Now think again. This is after these people have been in Jerusalem, and death has been everywhere. The city has been starved, so that all kinds of people have died of starvation. Nebuchadnezzar has sent his forces against the walls of Jerusalem and destroyed those walls and destroyed the buildings and so on. And they have seen friend after friend and being killed and their bodies being mutilated and so on. And now God is saying, and now we see these people, and it's all because they didn't listen to God as Jeremiah has been warning them. And now God is saying, and now we find that they are saying, we're not going to obey God. I mean, sometimes, you know, you hear of somebody who is getting into all kinds of trouble, and it's all, you almost say, he just has a desire for trouble, or he's risking his life again and again, and we say of him, he must have a death wish of some kind. It's just like there's something that's compelling them to go in the wrong path, even though the evidence is that path is bringing disaster after disaster after disaster. So blind is man, so locked into to sin is man. I'll tell you, that lock is really tight. That is why God, the Holy Spirit, has to open their eyes. Now here they've gone into, they are the tiny remnant left. A lot of their friends have been murdered. And again, we're going to read after a little while that they are going to be coming with the same kind. We are going to remain here. This is where we know we're going to be well and everything is going to be fine. It's impossible to understand the natural stupidity of man. And there's the other side of this coin. Well, look how smart we are. Look how bright we are. And that we see all this. Forget it. Forget it. It's only the mercy of God. Not one of us would be sitting here and trying to understand this unless it was God who opened our eyes, unless God got into our life. Because we're just like all the others by nature. We're part of the human race. And so that is why we have to walk very humbly before God. Oh Lord, I don't understand why it is that you open my eyes and that I have such a desire to know the Word of God. But I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Because if it depended upon me, it would not happen. It just would not happen. And we better make sure we clearly understand that. All right, so we go on in verse 8, in that ye provoked me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye have gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and reproach among all the nations of the earth. And indeed, that's exactly what is going to happen, that they are a shame and a reproach, a curse and a reproach. Well, that's as far as we can get in our study today. In our next study, we'll continue right from that verse.